If you're going to be a political columnist, then Ohio is a great place to grow up. It's always been a swing state and hugely influential in presidential contests. That's where New York Times columnist Gail Collins was raised and where she developed the political philosophies that shape her writing. But Gail's used to hearing that Ohio is a pivotal state. She wasn't used to hearing it about Texas. And yet her coverage of Rick Perry's campaign made her take a second look at the bargaining power of the Lone Star State. Her new book is called As Texas Goes, and she joins us now. Gail, no one's really talked about Texas as a bellwether state too much, but you started thinking about all this during the Perry campaign. What happened?
You know, it really, the thought started when there was that famous day in 2009 when Perry spoke to a group of Tea Party people and they kept yelling for secession. And although Perry did not specifically say, yeah, let's secede, you did not feel the love from the group. And this was happening all over Texas back then. You know, all these meetings, all this anger about the federal government. And I was talking to someone about it, and I said, why is Texas so angry? Texas has run the national agenda for the last 30 years. Why do they feel persecuted? And that was sort of the thought that began the book.
All right, but I think that a lot of people would say, wait, Texas has not run the national agenda for the last 30 years. Where do you come by that idea?
Think about it now. The savings and loan crisis in the 80s began when the federal government attempted basically to copy the Texas system of regulating savings and loans. The Texas savings and loans were very profitable because many of them were cooking their books, but they didn't know that back then. And so then we had the savings and loan crisis. Banking deregulation, you certainly could not blame on Texas or any one person, but Senator Phil Graham of Texas was definitely, if there was one single guy in Congress who was writing all of the deregulation laws, he would be your main man. Energy policy, tax policy, particularly when it comes to oil, No Child Left Behind, education policy, the education policy that the federal government has been using since the George W. Bush administration is based on the Texas system. We've had Texans, I've forgotten my number, it's been like something like 21 of the past 34 years, we've had a Texan either in the White House or as a vice president. Three land wars, all the land wars we've had in my lifetime have been under Texas guys. Vietnam, two Iraqs, one for each Bush, and the Afghanistan.
So you decided to go down to Texas and do some research. Now, we should say, I mean, is it fair to say that you're a liberal? I mean, you wear that label with pride, do you not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I would never deny that. Okay. And I'm total outsider. I am not a Texan. This is a book, an outsider's view of Texas, and it's about what Texas means to the rest of the country.
Although, frankly, I'm not sure if you read reviews on Amazon or comments on other message boards, there are some people who are ticked off that you got it into your head to write about Texas when you're from Ohio. But let me read a portion of one of the Amazon reviews. This reviewer says, Texas has way more cultural diversity than most states. East Texas could be mistaken for Mississippi and its evangelical Christianity and attitude to the law, but the people in the South and West Texas have been speaking Spanish for five centuries, never did become anglicized. The panhandle has more in common with the Midwest than it does with the Trans-Picos or Hill Country. Your response?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I would say, by the way, that one of the many, many reasons, and Texans, I think, would agree with me when I say that Texas is stupendously important. I think we've all got that together. But one of the reasons Texas is so important for America's future is that, A, it is soon going to be a majority Hispanic state.
Yes.
Leading the way for what is going to be happening in much of the country over this next century. It's got a huge birth rate as well as a large immigration rate. It is growing by leaps and bounds. In another 20 years or so, 10% of the workforce in this country is going to be people who are educated in Texas schools. And the Texas schools right now are not doing a great job of that. Texas is also not doing a great job of becoming politically diverse enough to bring Hispanic voters and Hispanic politicians into running the state the way you would expect at this point in their development.
We're speaking with Gail Collins, who's a columnist for our partner, The New York Times, and author of the new book, As Texas Goes. So let's get down to brass tacks here, Gail. It sounds, though, your book is making the argument that Texas is a very large microcosm, that it perhaps is the model for the way that right-wing conservatives would like the rest of the country to look. Is that fair?
Well, there's several ways you can look at the politics of our country. And the way I like to look at it, if there's always going to be a division, is between the empty places and the crowded places. If you live in a crowded place, as I do, you tend to really appreciate government because there's all this stuff around, and you want government to sort of moderate disputes, to keep anybody from shooting you, to keep
right.
the dogs
People
from pooping on the sidewalk.
People are uncomfortably close.
Right. We like government. We appreciate government. If you live in an empty place or perceive yourself as living in an empty place, what's the point? You're in an empty place. You don't need any help. You're probably not going to get any help. Government's not going to do anything but bother you. And the great populist Tea Party expression right now in this country is very much the empty places ethos. Now, the problem with the empty places ethos is that outside of the U.S. Senate, if there aren't any people, you're not going to have very much power. Nobody is writing about how Wyoming is going to take over the world. The amazing thing about Texas is that Texas is growing by leaps and bounds. It's humongous. And you have a history, a very strong history of independence. And you have an oligarchy, a wealth oligarchy that has been running things for a very long time. It's a very expensive state to run campaigns because of its size. It's got a very low voter turnout. So any really intense feeling on the part of voters tends to translate into a lot of power. So you put all that stuff together, and you really do have, plus Dick Armey, who was a founder of the Tea Party, is a Texas legislator, former majority leader of the House. Ron Paul, who is sort of the intellectual godfather of the Tea Party, is, of course, a Texan. So there's a lot of stuff there to think about.
But, you know, let me channel Rick Perry here for just a moment and say, well, heck, if Texas is in the model, that can't be too bad, right? They're the top state for exports. They have more Fortune 500 companies than any other states. The most job creation. They've got a balanced state budget. What's wrong with all that?
Yeah, Texas, that's sort of the problem. I mean, Texas presents itself now as the model, and the Tea Party would probably present Texas as a model for the way we want to run the country in the future. But if you look at the economy of Texas, you A, have an economy that has been starving its education system in order to keep taxes low, an economy in which poor people, lower middle class people, working people actually pay very high taxes as a percent of their income. It's the wealthier you get, the more likely you are to be undertaxed in Texas. You have a place in which workers who are injured on the job have very little chance of compensation. There are virtually no unions, so there's very little chance of having anybody speak up for you on the state level. And you have a huge, 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 huge gap between the lower classes who provide all of this very cheap labor for the economy and the professional classes. And this is a model that I'm hoping we will not export. This is the way I hope we're not going to go as a country. And I would love to see if we can find a way to encourage people in Texas, of whom there are many, many, many liberals, I have to say, although they're way outnumbered, of thinking about a different model.
Are you preaching to the converted here, though, Gail? Because obviously, there's going to be a number of right-wing conservatives who will see your name and not pick up your book. For those who don't recognize your name, as soon as they start reading that you're criticizing Texas or any of the Texas politicians, they're certainly not going to finish your book. Is this a book where you're just really talking to liberal Democrats?
Well, we all can do only what we do. And all I can do is to go out there and find out what I can find and write about it. I've always tried to write in a way that does not make people particularly crazy, that's more cheerful than angry. And I hope that makes it a little bit easier for people who just want to think about it more to think about it. Plus, it is such a good story. This is such a fascinating state. Somebody sent me a headline while I was working on this that said, "Men allegedly beat woman with frozen armadillo." And I thought, how can you not love a state that's got stuff like that going on? It's just a fascinating place, and I had the best time down there, I must say.
As an outsider, what's the best place? Where would I go visit in Texas?
Oh, most people would tell you Austin, you know, and I was talking
to
somebody from
Absolutely.
Georgia who said, well, yes, but Austin's not really part of Texas. They do tend to say that about Austin a lot, but Austin is very cool. Also, I spent some time in Marfa, which is a little town in West Texas in the middle of really very little, but it's sort of an art colony, it's working on itself. And any place that names itself after a Dostoevsky character in the middle of West Texas is just a place that's got to warm your heart.
That's pretty cool. Gail Collins is a columnist for our partner, the New York Times. Her new book is called As Texas Goes. Gail, thank you so much. And I want to get the promise from you now to come back and talk about Mitt Romney with us.
Oh, would love it.
Okay, thanks so much, Gail.
I don't know what that was all about, but I will tell you this. Don't mess with Texas.
Yes, Texas has been messed with. You know who that was? That was Will Ferrell playing President George W. Bush from SNL. Well, you just heard Gail Collins, indeed, messing with Texas. We want to hear your perceptions of the Lone Star State. Are you willing to mess with Texas or defend it? Tell us your take at 8778MYTAKE. Post to the website at thetakeaway.org. It's enough to make you wish Molly Ivins was still around. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee, descendant of Texans. This is The Takeaway.